How many of you have something in your past that is haunting? Maybe it's something that you don't like to think about. I think all of us have something in our past that is difficult, whether it's something we did, is our fault or not. Maybe it's something someone did to us. It's something that when it comes up, it's not a pleasant thought. Last week, what we talked about is overcoming the labels that bind us. Because a lot of times when, whether we make a mistake or maybe it's just the people we're around, we're labeled a certain way. They may give us a tagline that goes with us. And I shared some of my middle school nicknames that I had to deal with. Whatever the case is, a lot of times, whether it's because of something we've done or just because people have always put us in that box, we limit ourselves because of the labels that we wear. And we discussed how it's so important for us to take off those labels and let God give us a new one. Talked about how He'll give you a new name, He'll give you a new purpose, and He'll give you a new future. And that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. Because the thing is, we can't do it in ourselves. We can't escape our past. The things that we went through, they're part of who we are. We can't in ourselves get away from them. But through the power of God, we can break strongholds that may have been in our life because of the past and what we've been through. So we were going to keep diving in to this subject. Next week, we're going to deal with something I think is really important. And I don't know if I've heard a lot of sermons actually dealing with this. We're going to talk about how to apologize to someone that you've hurt, how to set things right. A lot of times we're dealing with forgiving someone that's hurt you. We're going to deal with when you've the one who caused the hurt, what the Bible says and how we can approach this. I think this is something that none of us want to do. How many likes to apologize? Raise your hand if you like to apologize. Okay, she says she does. These little girl, well, they'll get a little older. That won't be so fun anymore. How many knows it's hard to say, I'm sorry, I was the one that was wrong, and really mean it? You know you do it and you fight with your spouse just so they'll leave you alone, right? All right, I'm sorry. It's my fault. And Sarah's not in here, so I can get away with telling on myself here. You know, we'll do that. But when it comes to genuinely apologizing, it's something that's hard to do. We're going to look at that biblically. I think it's very important for us so we can be everything that God wants us to be. And then the fourth week, we're going to talk about overcoming our own mistakes. We can experience the grace of God in our lives, but sometimes we can't give ourselves the same grace God has given us. We won't forgive ourselves. We won't let things go. We hold ourselves back, and we're going to deal with that, how to overcome our mistakes and learn to forgive ourselves as Christ has forgiven us. But today what I want to talk to you about is how to forgive those who have hurt you. For example, you know, if I just asked everyone here today, you know, how many of you have been hurt by someone? Every single one of us, if honest, would have to raise our hand. Because if you're over the age of 3 or 4, you've had your feelings hurt, or you've had someone do something to you that's awful or mean or hateful. You know, even Adriana will come back from school and tell about this girl that doesn't like her and is mean to her and says mean things to her. Because we're human beings, and there are other human beings out there. All of us have experienced things that hurt us. People have said things about us. Maybe someone has done something to us physically, or maybe, you know, you've been involved in a divorce or a spouse that's cheated on you, or something that was said within the family. And, you know, there's all these things that could happen. Every single one of us here this morning, if we will be honest, we know what it means to be hurt. We know what it is for someone to do things to us, and it'd be hard to move on from that because, again, we are human beings. You know, sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. A miscommunication takes place, and if we're not careful, you know, the enemy will use it to cause a divide and between, you know, two people or in a marriage or in a home or between friends, and that causes problems for years and years and years. You know, and sometimes they may get to resolving it, and they'll stop and say, that was what the problem was? You know, I can't believe we let that happen. Other times it's more deep. It's more severe. It's more than a misunderstanding. It can be an outright betrayal. Someone has just done something that's cruel to you, and it's definitely hard to get over. But one thing I've noticed, you know, just working with people, growing up in a pastor's home and getting a little bit of experience myself, is that, you know, there's always someone. And I prayed with a few guys in the Sunday school class before we came in here for this service. Because, you know, I was telling them, we never know what people are going through that are sitting on the pews. Because just from experience, there's someone in here that there's a fresh hurt. There's something that no one else knows about that you brought into this service that I'm not aware of. The person sitting next to you may not know what's going on. And you came in here hurting. You know, maybe emotionally bleeding. Maybe it's something, a scar, something that's just happened. There's a fresh wound. It's wide open. And you come in this service. But also know, on the other hand, there are those that, you know, maybe it's something that happened a long time ago. You've kind of buried it. Oh, I can deal with this. You know, you push it down deep inside and you try to hide it from everybody. But then you get around those people. Or you go to that family Christmas dinner and all of a sudden all those feelings rush back and something is said and something's done. And like, man, I thought I had that pushed down. But all of a sudden it rises up again. So whether it's something that's fresh or something that's old that maybe you've pressed down inside, I can guarantee you today there are people here that are hurting. Let me ask you, how many of you have been hurt? I think we all have. Yes. All of us have been. No matter what type it is, that's a misunderstanding or a betrayal. Someone has hurt you or wounded you. And I'm going to read a scripture to you from Mark chapter 11. Go ahead. I think we have a slide for that here this morning. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And another version says, it's when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. And I want to say something here real quick. I want to say that I appreciate Sister Shirley. If you were here a few Sundays ago, she talked about this. Many of you know that her son was murdered. Is it 30 years ago now, 20, 30? It's been a long time. But it was until just a month or so ago that God helped her to forgive that person. That would be hard to forgive. None of, you know, that's one of the, probably the greatest, hurts that could possibly happen. Someone kill someone you love. And I appreciate what she shared with us. And that's, she quoted this verse, or part of it. She said, because I want God to forgive me. And the one thing I want to get to today is you say, Pastor, why should I forgive? They haven't asked for it. And you ever said that before? Why should I forgive them? They haven't asked for forgiveness. I've used the line once or twice in life, just to be honest. You know, why should I forgive? They haven't done anything to deserve forgiveness. Nothing has changed. They're still doing that. They're still acting that way towards me, whatever the case may be. I don't know why I should forgive. Well, there's two reasons I want to cover this morning on why we should forgive. And the first reason is this, if you'll go ahead and go there, it says, because unforgiveness hurts me. Unforgiveness hurts me more than it does the person I won't forgive. You say amen to that? You've seen it in your life, I'm sure. When I don't forgive, it hurts me more than it does anyone else. It's something that's hard for me to let go of. And I could sit here today and we could talk about things that have happened to you. But one thing, you know, that I can't deal with. I can deal with a lot of stuff. But if you attack one of my family members, that's where the line is. You know, you can do something to me, say something to me, whatever. I can let it roll off my back most of the time. I've had to learn how to do that. But when it comes to a family member, it's a different story. All you parents say amen. If you have a sibling, you know what that is. The line is right here. When you start messing with my kids or my parents or whatever, that's when the line is crossed. And I'm going to try to share a story with you without giving you too many details, enough just to fill the story. I grew up as a pastor's kid, and so we experienced all the joys of that as well as all the hurts of that. And I remember when I was, I think I was 8. I'm just going to say it's somewhere around there. I was under 10 years old. There's, you know, 4 kids, and me and my brother just about a year apart. But we were at a church, and I knew stuff was going on. I didn't know really what was happening. I was too young to pay attention. But one morning in a service, things went crazy, went sideways. And for some reason, we weren't in kids' church that morning. Usually we were. And I remember a guy standing up right in front of me and saying stuff about my dad and my family. And you know, I'm a little kid, and, you know, that was hard. And before it was over with, he had both sides, and it was going on during the service. And I remember we went home, and we were gone shortly thereafter. We moved across the United States, over 20 hours from that location. And I don't want to tell you where that location is, but we moved 20 hours away, and we ended up pastoring somewhere else. But I remember the hurt that I dealt with as a little kid. Now, I know, you know, the adults deal with it, and you know, without going into the things that were said, no matter exactly what was transpiring there, I remember the hurt. And it was so bad that, you know, I would cry myself to sleep for weeks. It was actually, even months later, I was still dealing with this as a kid. Because this wasn't just people saying stuff about my family. I was removed from everything I knew. So here I find myself across the country, no friends, a different place, different people. And there's this deep wound. And I remember me and my brother talking about it, you know. And what was funny, and this is kind of humor in the situation, that Sunday morning when it happened, whatever side of the church it was on, we were three rows behind one of the guys who stood up, and we were talking later. Said, yeah, if we could go back again, we'd crawl into that pew and yank his leg. And we'd pull him down. You know, we're little kids, so we had all these ideas. This is what I would do. But I remember that hurt, but also what I remember later is that the power of God that had to help me with it. As I began to pray in my relationship with God as a kid and opening His Word, I came across some of these verses I'm going to share with you today. And I had to learn to allow God to help me to forgive. Because what you find out in life is not forgiving is more harmful to you than it is to that person. It's more harmful to me not to forgive. You know, it does a lot more damage to my life and to my emotions and to my ability to function as a human being than it does towards that person. And as one person put it, you know, unforgiveness, you know, it leads to bitterness. And bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping it kills someone else. It's taking something in, hoping it will hurt another individual. But in fact, it harms us more than it would harm anyone else. And, you know, this morning, I don't know, you know, what someone has done to you, whether it's someone gossiped or you know, a spouse cheated or someone lied or someone abandoned you, hurt you, whatever the case is that maybe it was someone at work or a close friend, a mom or a dad, it could have been a business deal gone bad. Whatever the case is, you may even be bitter at God. But I want to tell you this morning, forgiveness is important. It's extremely important. Here's the verse I want to give to you about forgiveness, Hebrews 12:15. It said, see to it, or the King James says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you, and thereby, I want you to notice this verse, this line. It says, you know, make sure no bitterness troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. Another version says, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. It didn't say just defile yourself. Because here's something I want you to get, especially as parents, is if we harbor bitterness, we harm our children. This is something that as a parent, God has tried to show me and deal with me about. Because if I have aught in my heart against someone else, what's it going to do to my kids? They're going to pick up on it, aren't they? It's going to affect every other relationship in my life. It's going to affect, you know, if it was something from maybe you went through a divorce and you remarried. If you harbor bitterness from the previous and you bring it into the current, what's it going to do? It's going to poison that relationship, isn't it? If it was something that happened, you know, years ago, but you still haven't forgiven, it could harm your trust. When you've been hurt by someone, doesn't it make you leery of trusting someone else? You won't let people in. And what happens is if we don't deal with forgiveness and we don't learn to forgive, we begin to harbor bitterness and many are defiled by it. Our family, our relationships, it hinders our health. If you harbor bitterness, and this is just from experience, you don't sleep well, what happens? You get sick. There's actually scientific evidence that people who don't forgive and harbor bitterness have more health problems. It defiles our body and it harms our relationships. It hinders our ability to work a job. Maybe anger becomes a problem and it starts causing us to lose jobs because we blow up, you know, when something happens and are said. So we got to see that forgiveness, we should forgive because unforgiveness, it hurts me. There's a song that my dad would sing. It was real close after we went through all this. And you know, it really didn't occur to me today why he loved this song so much. But I remember us singing it in church, and thing about my family is we had our own band. My dad played the piano, I played the drums, my brother played the bass. My dad could play everything but the drums. And so anyways, you know, we did the music at the church. The church we went to didn't have any. And I remember the song he would sing. It went like this. It said, "Forgive. Don't let it live. Don't let the darkness of Satan in. Forgive. Send it away. Don't let it stay. Let mercy reign. You must forgive." And it goes on and it has some other verses. But I remember that sticking in my head. And today I think that's so important. You hear the saying, you know, love keeps no record of wrong. What does bitterness do? It keeps a detailed diary. Love doesn't write anything down, but bitterness. Did you see what they did? You see what they're wearing? Did you see how they, you know, that's what bitterness does. Bitterness keeps a log, and it recites them over and over again. Bitterness is something that will eat away at our hearts, and it can destroy our relationships. It's like grabbing glass in your hands and squeezing it tightly. Unforgiveness is a painful process that hurts others. It's something, if you don't let go of, it will destroy you. Now, any of y'all play Angry Birds? I know it's kind of going out of style. They got these other cell phone games. I see some of you kids raising your hand. Now, what is it? It's a bird that's angry. Okay, pretty obvious. I don't know. Why does he hate the pig so much? Have you figured it out yet? I don't know what the pigs did. Maybe the pig stole his eggs, the chickens. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, in this game, you take this bird and you pull back this slingshot and you shoot the bird into the pigs. And now sometimes they're in a structure or whatever, and the goal is to take out all the pigs, knock them all down. You think about it, though, bitterness is like that. We're trying to get even with someone, but we harm ourselves in the process. If you play the game, you know what happens when that bird hits that thing. What's it do? It rolls down the hill and blows up. That's what bitterness does. It's like we use ourselves to cause harm, but in the very act of it, we destroy ourselves. So we must forgive, because forgiveness is important for me. It's important so that I can move on. It's important so that I can be what God has called me to be. Another reason is this. It's because I will need forgiveness again. Mark 6, verse 14. It says, "For if you forgive men what they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And I'm about to read a verse to you from Matt 18, if you want to turn there, because I don't have it up here. And I'm going to read to you part of a parable that Christ used to illustrate this point. What we find in this parable is this man that owed his master 10,000 talents. And he couldn't pay him back. The scripture goes on to say there's no way possible that this man could pay him back. And so he's brought before his master or the king. And the thing is, it's like, we're going to throw you in prison, you know, till you pay your debt, which was not going to happen. We're going to sell your children. We're going to sell your wife, and you're going to rot in debtor's prison. But the story goes is that this individual begged for forgiveness. Now, he begged before the king, "Please have mercy upon me. You know, please give me a second chance." And so what you find here is that the king didn't just forgive him and say, "I'll give you more time," but he wrote off his debt completely. He said, "It's gone. Just go your way. I've forgiven you." But we're going to pick up here in verse number 32 of chapter 18 of Matthew. And this is what we find happened. So this guy was just forgiven 10,000 talents. This was equivalent of 20 years' wages, okay? 20 years' wages. And one man added it up. I don't know what part of the country he was in, but he said that was the equivalent of, he said, $2 billion. In this part of the country, I don't think 20 years' wages would equal $2 billion. But it'd be something astronomical. It's going to be in the millions and millions and millions of dollars. You work 20 years of your life. If you added every penny together, this was the equivalent of 10,000 talents. This is how much this was. So he'd just been forgiven this debt, this great debt. He begged for mercy. Verse 32 tells us. I didn't put all the scripture in here. But what happens, and then I'll read verse 32, is that when he gets back home, maybe, you know, he had a certain area he was over. There was a man that owed him a small amount. The scripture says that he told him, you know, pay up. The man didn't. He threw him in prison. Now think about it. He just been forgiven 10,000 talents, an equivalent of 20 years of work. The man he wouldn't forgive, what I find is it's like a just like a week's worth of wages that he couldn't pay back. And so here's what happens when the master finds out. It says, and the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Verse 34. It says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And it goes on in verse 5. This is what Jesus said. He said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Think about that. He said, if you won't forgive when you've been forgiven so much, how do you expect to be forgiven again? You know, we want mercy from God, but we don't want to give it to others. Are we all guilty of that? I want mercy, but it's hard for us to reciprocate that. So we look at this and say, okay, Pastor, I need to forgive, you know, because it's harmful to me. It's good for me to forgive, and I need to forgive because I need forgiveness. But how do I forgive? It's hard to forgive sometimes, isn't it? It's difficult. There's some things that are so hard. You can try. You can try to make it happen, but it's hard to let go of it. I'm going to try to give you a few ways that you can forgive, okay, that will help you to do that. And these are some just basic principles you're going to find in the Scripture that I believe are extremely helpful. And the very first thing that you've got to do if you're going to be able to forgive someone is you've got to learn to pray for them. Pray for the one who hurts you. Now I say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. I can't pray for them. And if you do, it's like this. Dear Lord, I pray that they would get rabies and hemorrhoids. Lord, make their life miserable. Have you prayed that prayer before? All right, don't do it now. That's not what to do. That's not what the Scripture is saying, you know. And there's different things you could say about certain people. Yeah, I pray for them. I'm praying for them, all right. I'm praying judgment and damnation upon their life. And that's what we do. That's not what I'm talking about today. It's what I'm talking about is what Jesus did on the cross. What did he do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Was this after the fact? No, this is in the middle of what they are doing, why they are in the act of hurting him, in the act of, before they even stuck the spear in his side, before that had even transpired, Jesus is hanging on the cross, crucified, and he lifts his head up to heaven and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The wounds were not healed. This was fresh. This was in the act of them hurting him. Jesus lifts his head to his Father and he prays that God would forgive them. How hard would that be? How hard would it be to do that? But that's what Jesus did. Even while men were crucifying him, he was praying that his Father would forgive them. There's a scripture in Matthew 5 and in verse 43 and 44 I'm going to read to you. And this is Jesus speaking on forgiveness. He said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's something we get. But in the culture he was writing, speaking to, specifically understood it. Because the Romans had a god of revenge. They were all about revenge. It was part of their culture. The Romans worship revenge as one of their gods. The Jewish law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Let's get this even. Let's get this right. Blood for blood. Jesus said, you know, you've heard it. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But he goes on in verse 44, and this is what he says. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What? He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Another place says, you know, pray for them that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Love them. Pray for them. Forgive them. This is what Jesus is teaching here. And this is something I know because I'm a human being too, is that it's hard to want to forgive someone, isn't it? It's hard to let go. It's hard, you know, say, Pastor, I'm waiting till I feel right again so I can forgive them. Let me let you on a little secret. You're never going to feel like it. because bitterness grows. It doesn't subside. It may disappear until something comes up and raises it to the surface again. This is something that I've found, and you probably have too, is right actions precede right feelings. What does that mean? It means sometimes you don't have to feel right. You just do what's right. God, I still hate them. You know, I feel hatred in my heart for them. I don't, this is hard for me. God, I have a hard time with this. But your word has told me to pray. So you take that step and say, God, Lord, I know what I want to pray, but instead I'm praying, God, help them. Whatever hurt they're dealing with that's making them act this way, whatever's caused them to respond or act towards me this way, God, have mercy. Forgive them. Help them. Now, going back to what I shared with you at the beginning of this message, some of the hurt that I dealt with, I finally had to come to the place where, just through the preaching of the word and reading it as myself as a kid, I came across these verses. And I had to start praying for those that had done that to my family. And I remember the first time it was hard, but before it was over with, I genuinely prayed because I cared about the person. It didn't start out that way. It started with obedience to God's word. So I want to encourage you here today. Maybe there's something you're dealing with in your life. It's hard to forgive that person. And there's just some other things I'm going to address that may be in your mind right now. But say, God, you know what? I know they've done me wrong, but I know your word is instructing me to forgive and to pray. And I'm going to pray for this person. I need your help to forgive them. It's the first step, to begin to pray for those that have wronged you. The second thing that you have to do if you're going to forgive someone is you're going to have to forgive as you've been forgiven. Now, how have you been forgiven? Galatians 3 says this. It says, forbearing one another. Really, it means, in the NIV, it may say bear. Bear with each other. Put up with each other. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Or bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Here's the way to put it. The forgiven forgive. The forgiven forgive others. If I've been forgiven, but Pastor, you know, they haven't asked for it. You know, they don't deserve it. I don't want to. I just can't deal with it. That's not something I'm ready for. Well, the Word of God is laid it out before us. And we've discussed today how important it is. It's important so that you can be what God has called you to be. It's important because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. And you can do it as you learn to pray for them and forgive as you have been forgiven. There's a story I listened to the other day, and I'm going to close here. It's a pastor in Oklahoma. He was sharing something that his family had went through. His name is Craig Rochelle, pastor's Life Church. And his sister had been abused by a teacher, just to keep it plain and not go into too many details, abused by a sixth grade teacher. They didn't find out about it till she was an adult. And this had happened to many kids or girls by this individual as a guy teacher. And he said he remembered, you know, how much he hated the man. He called him Max. It wasn't his real name. And he said that, you know, it was just a hard thing. He said, we had a hard time. He said, even when my sister forgave him, I couldn't forgive him. He said, I wanted to kill the man. Now, that was my desire and that was my purpose. And he said he finally got word one day that the man was in, he got some terrible disease that was debilitating. And I don't remember exactly what it was. And so he was in misery. And he said, I remember thinking, when I heard it, and that's what he deserved. He got what he deserved. Have you ever done that before when someone that's done you wrong goes through a tough time? Now they got theirs. He said, I begin to think that because we all do. He said, and then all of a sudden God began to deal with me because the scripture actually talks about that. He said, don't rejoice at the calamity of your enemies. Don't take pleasure when someone that's hurt you is hurting. Don't do that. Don't rejoice. The scripture actually warns that if you rejoice when they suffer, the same suffering they're going through, God's going to turn it on you. So I'm not, count me out, right? God, I don't want to be that one. So he said, you know, God began to deal with me, and he said, we got word that he was, you know, didn't have much longer, and he was in bad condition. And he said, one day, he said, I sat down and I wrote a letter to him on behalf of the family. And I'm going to read to you some of the letter and what he wrote about writing that letter. And this is what he wrote. He said, Dear Max, I've been forgiven by Christ. And I wrote some things, you know, he said, he went and wrote down some things that he had done. He said, and I didn't deserve forgiveness for what I've done. He said, and what you did to my sister was wrong, and you don't deserve our forgiveness. But because we've been forgiven, our family chooses to forgive you. Then he went on to explain the gospel of Christ and what Jesus had done, and explained to this offender that had done this to his sister that he could have the same forgiveness from God. And then at the end of it, he wrote a prayer in there for this man to ask for forgiveness and receive salvation. And he says, I never heard from him again. He died. He said, but a few weeks after the funeral, he said that they were contacted by his nurse. He'd been in such a bad place, he couldn't take care of himself. And there's a woman that had taken care of him. She contacted and reached out to the family, and she told him this story. She said, when you received the letter in the mail, you know, he was in such a bad condition, he could not open it, he could not read. So I read it to him. This woman happened to be a good Christian woman. She said, as I began to read that letter to him, he began to weep. She said, he wept for hours after I read that letter. She said, and shortly after that, I was able to lead him to Christ and to get him to seek forgiveness. He died a few days later. And the pastor that I was referring to, he said, you know, as I heard that, he said, I realized that when I forgave, God set a prisoner free, and that prisoner was me.